So I don't know about you, but for me, the past several weeks, I have found myself not really looking forward to reading, to listening, or to watching the news. I have just seen story after story in the news that leads me to ask, what is going on in our world? And I'm thinking particularly of stories like a commercial airliner shot out of the sky with 298 people dead. I'm thinking of the issues surrounding the immigration of children from Latin America, children fleeing violence and poverty and coming to our borders, and we're not sure what to do with them. We're not sure as a nation how to respond to their arrival. Congress itself left town without dealing with an immigration bill. I'm struck by the Israeli and the Palestinian conflict. We keep using that word conflict, but more and more it seems like outright war. A war in which Israel experiences invasions from secret tunnels and rocket attacks, but also a war in which there's a growing humanitarian crisis developing in Gaza, where there's not enough water or food, where people do not have places to live, and where many, many people have been killed. I think this morning in the paper I saw 1,650 people at latest count, and many of them children. I think about an article that appeared in the newspaper about our own neighborhood and the gang violence between the Camp Street gang and the Chad Brown gang, and gunshots fired on Cypress Street. What is going on in our world? It seems the world is a mess. And that left me asking the question, okay, the world seems like a mess, what can we do about it? But the problems are so large. And it seems like there's so little that I or that you can do. It can be easy to despair. Certainly we can pray, but can we do any more? Following the 8 o'clock liturgy, we did, as we do every week, have a group that gathers and talks about the lessons. And we talked about the fact that these issues confronting our nation, our world, seem so vast and so large and so complex and so beyond us. It's hard not to despair. It's hard not to just give up and say, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do anything. One of the people said, C.S. Lewis once said, don't read the newspaper. And she said, I'm beginning to wonder if that's not a bad idea. I don't know, I never saw that quote from Lewis, but I pass that on to you. So what do we do as Christians? What is our response? I think we're called to pray, but I think we're also called to not lose hope. And we are called to act, even though in acting it may seem we are doing something small and insignificant. Our gospel this morning is perhaps one of the more familiar accounts, the feeding of the 5,000, if you count only men, 5,000 plus women and children. It's one of those few stories that appears in all four gospels. It was that significant to the early church. And in fact, the early church saw in this miracle an anticipation of the Last Supper, of the Eucharist itself, Jesus taking, blessing, breaking, and giving. The very act that happens at this altar, which will happen in a few moments, where bread and wine are blessed and broken and given, the body and blood of Jesus. One of those most important, and in some ways, such a captivating miracle. Here are people gathered, they're hungry, what's to be done? In this chapter of Matthew, just before this miracle, is the account of John the Baptist being killed. And John's disciples bring that news to Jesus and to his disciples. And between that news and what I imagine to be their grief, as well as the fact that the multitudes have been seeking out Jesus and he and the disciples have been engaged in teaching and preaching and healing those multitudes, I think those two things drive Jesus into the wilderness with his disciples. They go off by themselves to get a little space. And then Jesus goes off alone. But the multitudes find him. The multitudes are hungry for what he has to offer. The multitudes are looking for his teaching, his preaching, and his healing. And so Jesus comes from the boat, over to the multitudes and, we are told, goes about the work of curing them. Now, the wilderness is, of course, a barren place. It's not easy to find food and resources there. But the wilderness in Scripture is also a place where important things happen. It's a place of temptation where Jesus goes into the wilderness before his public ministry, spends 40 days there, and is tempted by Satan. The wilderness is also that place of journey where the people of Israel are led from slavery to the promised land, traveling 40 years through the wilderness. It's also the place of their temptation, where they rebel against God, where they say, weren't we better off in Egypt? We had cucumbers and leeks there. We're hungry. And so God gives them manna, bread from heaven. God provides for the people in the wilderness. These people, the 5,000 plus, are in the wilderness, and they are hungry. It's the end of the day. All the disciples see is more people than they can possibly feed. Get them out of the wilderness. Send them back to the villages and towns. Let them go where they can get food. They can go away to places where they can buy food. Jesus, however, has a different idea and says to the disciples, feed them. And the disciples, of course, have a response, we can't. We have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I'm sure they're thinking that's not possibly enough to feed all these people. But Jesus says, bring them to me, tells the crowd to sit. And he takes and blesses and breaks and gives the food to the disciples. And the disciples then feed that multitude. And there's enough food that there are leftovers, 12 baskets full. Everyone there is satisfied. God's abundance provides for the people in their need and provides for them without demanding cost or anything in return, just generously providing for the people in their need in that place. And I think that's key. This miracle, this story, tells us what God desires for the world. For a world which is hungry, is thirsting, is full of violence and need, God desires that all are fed, that all have enough, that God has provided generously and lovingly everything there is, and in that abundance, there's enough for everyone. And that abundance is offered freely for all people, not just certain people, not just some groups, but for everyone. And I think this miracle also tells us about the transformative power of that abundant love of God. How many times have we had that sense of what we have is too meager, is too little, is not enough? Like those disciples, we say to Jesus, I can't do that. How can I do that? That's so far beyond me. The disciples assure Jesus they have nothing. But Jesus says quite the opposite. You do have something. And the miracle is that that something which seems too little, when shared with that community, is more than sufficient, is more than enough, is in fact abundant. And so that call for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is to allow ourselves to be transformed. Transformed from that vision of a world where there's not enough. A vision of our lives where there's not enough. A vision of ourselves as a parish community where we may think we're small and we don't have much. We are called to be transformed, to see that in God's economy, there is enough. What little we feel we have, if offered in community for the good of the world, God can act through. So our call is to trust, to not despair, not assume that we are or what we have is too meager, but to be called like those people at this miracle feeding, called to be full of God's abundance, full of God's love, and to share what we have with others. And I think that this miracle shows the power of God to break into unexpected places, to seemingly hopeless situations. Who would ever have guessed feeding 5,000 people would be possible with so little? And yet it happened. So maybe God can act in and through us in the seemingly hopeless and despairing situations of our world. For at heart, I think Jesus is calling us to expand our vision, to look at things in a much broader way, to go from thinking about being meager to seeing everything as gift of God, given us to be used in service of God's people, to trust that God has provided abundantly, and that God's love will not fail, and that God's desire for all to be fed and safe and whole and healthy is our work. We are called to be God's agents in the world making this happen. I regularly quote to you the daily meditations from the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge. That's because I, at least personally, find them so useful and helpful, and often marvel at how, for me at least, they capture the central themes of a particular day or passage. So it turns out last week they had a meditation which was called Kindness. And it says this: I suspect that the seemingly small, ordinary kindnesses of our lives are magnified greatly in God's design. We remember the story of the widow's mite and the stories of the loaves and fishes. What seems like little to us may amount to a great deal in God's economy. What can seem so little to us can amount to so much in God's economy. That widow's mite, you may remember that widow who offers one small coin, and other people scoffed, it's not very much, but it was all she had, and Jesus talked about her great offering. Or this story of loaves and fishes, where there's not enough food, and yet that miracle of God's abundance provides for all. The little that we have and that we offer is enough in God's economy. This all leads me to ask of us as the body of Christ in this place, who though we are not large in numbers, we are richly blessed. So what is it we are being called to do? How are we being called to use what God has so generously given us to answer the hunger and the need of the world? What is God calling us to do in this neighborhood, in this city? How are we being called to act? Who is it that Jesus is calling us to feed? Who are the people in desperate need and we could reach out to them? And I also wonder, where are the places we might be blind to what God sees? We might be blind to what God is calling us to do, where our vision might be narrowed and limited. How do we need our eyes opened, our dreams expanded, our vision enlarged? Let us ask God that we might be the people who respond to God's abundant love and feed others. In our first lesson this morning, we hear from the prophet Isaiah, and it opens with that beautiful invitation, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water." A great banquet is offered, and this banquet is offered without cost or without price. It is offered to all, to those who would come into loving covenant with God. The remarkable thing about these words is they are spoken to the people at a time of exile. They're in Babylon. They have lost their homeland. They feel disconnected from God. And yet here's that promise that God is faithful. God's abundant banquet is offered for them even in exile. That God does offer them the water, the food, the feast, caring for their needs. For in God's economy, even the impossible is possible. And so this great banquet is offered to all people if they will but love God. If they will accept that promise of living in God's abundant love, trusting that God abundantly provides for all. That invitation is ours. God bids us come, be satisfied, accept that love of God poured out so freely upon us. But then also, as Jesus tells the disciples, to go out and feed ourselves. So let us accept this life, this invitation, this transformative power of God's love, that we can bring this love to the hurting world, to the seemingly hopeless and overwhelming situations around us, and that others may be fed and satisfied through our work. Amen.